This is the story about...
I want to do it, too.
Okay.
One, two.
This is Precious Lives.
Stories about kids.
Teens.
Guns.
Guns.
Yeah, we end the violence.
Bye-bye.
Because we are precious.
I'm Eric Vaughn. This is Precious Lives. When we lose someone in Milwaukee to gun violence, there's a radiating impact. Take 5-year-old Layla Peterson. She was killed inside her home, the result of a drive-by shooting. Layla was a daughter, a granddaughter, and a friend. She attended Northwest Catholic School. Dozens of her classmates had to cope with her loss and return to school and try to focus. A new program recognizes how exposure to violence can affect the child's ability to learn. WUWM's Mitch Tyke spoke with Drs. Carrie King and Tammy Scheidegger, who piloted the trauma-sensitive school project at Layla's school.
Well, unlike the public schools, the private schools, some of the charter schools, the parochials, they don't have pupil service teams, which includes school counselors, psychologists, nurses, social workers. And so it really becomes the administration, the teaching staff, and if there is a counselor there, they're in charge of the whole child.
So I know this is linked to Mount Mary's fairly significant program in counseling, and the two of you each have expertise in the impact of trauma on people, not just school students or staff. But explain what we know about how trauma manifests itself in this population.
Well, you know, first of all, what we know about trauma, if we cast the net wide, is that trauma is something that affects all of us at some time or another. And there, most of the time, people connect trauma with the idea of PTSD. And certainly that is what you hear about in regards to PTSD is one way to look at this issue of trauma. But when we cast the net wider, we think about events such as growing up in an environment where there's a great deal of violence, or growing up being impacted by the concerns of the family that you originated in. There's a study called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, and you know many people have heard about it now. Wisconsin is ahead of the game in educating mental health providers and individuals about adverse childhood experiences. But many things are considered traumatic when we look at adverse childhood experiences. Did you grow up with a parent who was incarcerated? Did you hear your parents arguing or your caretakers, sort of domestic violence kinds of situations. Those are the ways in which trauma, when the net gets cast wider, ends up impacting all of us. And so as counselors, we want to honor individuals' personal experience and what they identify as a trauma.
Well, and so how does that stuff manifest itself in the classroom?
So what you see is children coming into a very structured environment, sometimes from a very chaotic, unpredictable world. And so there's an adjustment that can often take quite a bit of time. And then we see it in terms of children not being able to focus on the learning that should be taking place, trying to find safety in that school environment. It can impair peer relationships, relationships with teachers, and then there can be acting out behavior or just withdrawal. Then the teachers are dealing with 30 young people in a classroom and experiencing the behavior, the withdrawal, the battles for control, and vicariously sometimes experiencing that trauma themselves.
We'd be hard-pressed to find children who aren't at some level dealing with trauma, no matter if they're in a parochial school system here in inner city Milwaukee or students who might be living in, you know, in Waukesha County in one of the schools there. So really want to focus on those children coming into school. And the expectation is that schools are there to teach our children, but it's hard to teach a child who is not physically present for whatever reason. Because they stayed up and couldn't go to sleep because their parents were arguing last night. And that happens across socioeconomic status. It happens in all places. And so we're teaching the teachers and the parents and the children how to navigate that and be prepared to learn, which is what all schools want to do.
Can this work happen in the absence of traditional counseling, though, when somebody has witnessed or been connected with some significant trauma? Does other traditional counseling need to happen?
Does it need to happen? I would say that other traditional counseling can be of added benefit for some individuals. What we know about trauma is that the majority of individuals who go through a traumatic experience have no long-term significant impairment. We have a way to get through, from a psychological perspective, most traumas on our own, using our own support systems, using the things that we know to do to get ourselves through. So the majority of people, when they faced a single incident trauma, we call that a type 1 trauma, are not going to necessarily need any long-term counseling. But there's another type of trauma that we call complex trauma or developmental trauma disorder. And that is kind of the multiple exposure. It's the kind of things that the Adverse Childhood Experiences Questionnaire is picking up on. So the more trauma that you have, the more likely that you're going to potentially have some long-term consequences, both mental health and physical health, and that you might benefit from someone one-on-one talking with you and helping you through that.
Well, and realizing that this plays out over a significant period of time, in a nutshell, can you describe how you're reaching these three different groups, the teachers and the parents and the students, and trying to accomplish, you know, if not exactly the same thing, a very similar thing with all three of them?
For this particular project, we met with the principals of the school about 15 months ago. These excellent administrators really recognized that since any child could be affected by trauma, their children are affected by trauma. And so they asked us to come in and teach the staff about trauma and its impact on learning in the classroom. Starting last August, we began an 18 to 21-hour program of training teachers. The foundations about what it looks like, how trauma impacts the brain, how it impacts learning, socialization, and so forth. And then the last 6 hours was experiential. We brought in professionals and students to allow the teachers to experience the different techniques and strategies that the students would be asked to do. What we're trying to get the students to do is be able to recognize how they're feeling and get some control over their emotions so that they can be present and learn. And so we put together a program and then in the fall had the opportunity to write a grant to the Kubley Foundation. Because we realized that for this to be successful, we needed to get all the students on board and any parents that we could reach out to.
As we started this project, one of the best parts about it is that we were giving teachers the opportunity to experience all the things that we would be rolling out to the parents and to the children, because we needed them to be invested in what we were doing. So we had opportunities for them to practice mindfulness strategies, for them to learn how to regulate their own bodies when they are dysregulated, because teachers are impacted by stress and traumatic stress just like everybody else. We got them doing yoga and drumming, and they could see how it was impacting themselves in a positive way. And so by the time the school year started, they were all very excited about teaching their students how to do these same kinds of things.
It must be difficult, though, to be able to do that, to teach their students this stuff, while at the same time also trying to do everything that you would normally do in a school environment, you know, teaching math, teaching reading, teaching science.
Well, that's true. But what we found out is that from collecting data between February and June for the 4th through 8th grade, we had half as many office visits, which meant the kids were in the classroom learning and not being sent out for a behavioral reason. And for the young kids, positive classroom behaviors increased. And essentially what that means is that there was more listening, learning, and cooperating with others. So more learning could take place.
We gave teachers strategies that would take the shortest amount of time, and we helped them figure out a schedule of how they place that in their school day for the biggest kind of impact. At the same time, we began using our graduate students and our former alums from our graduate program in counseling to train the students how to do things individually so that they could become sort of the keeper of their own destiny. So if we teach kids how to do mindfulness kinds of things, then the teacher doesn't always have to direct them. What the teacher can do is to sort of have some kind of way to alert them that they need to be able to get into their own space. And kids learn how to do that really, really quickly.
And so we went to Northwest Catholic School and we're making mindfulness bottles, which is sort of like making a snow globe with the kids. the students were able to describe how when shook up, that was similar to when their emotions are out of control, and that given time, that their emotions can be calm and they can continue to move on through the day without continually being angry and upset about things. And they were really able to articulate how that mindfulness bottle represented them better than some of the grown-ups could.
How much of this has to be geared towards the specific traumatic events in their lives, and how much do you come at it from a more general standpoint?
Well, we really come at it from a more general standpoint. We are not providing counseling per se. We are providing strategies to help any human being deal with the daily stressors that we're all impacted by. And that's the really interesting thing. So when our bodies are under psychological stress, we have what we call bottom-up processing. So the most primitive parts of our brain, those primitive parts that allow us to do things unconsciously without any thinking, those are the types of things that when a body is under stress, it happens automatically. And for children and for adults, when we are under stress, the front part, our prefrontal cortex goes offline and we automatically react in hypervigilant ways if we're scared. And what we do by teaching the kinds of techniques that we're teaching in the Northwest Catholic is to help anybody learn how to regulate themselves. We don't need to talk about a specific event like what happened yesterday that made you scared or upset or angry. We just need to teach them what to do when they get to that place, or in some cases, how to prevent getting to that place. What do you notice happening to your own body when you start to get, worked up? And how can you take care of it to keep yourself calm?
There are a lot of other schools out there as well.
There are other schools who have approached us to do a similar project, schools that don't have that big pupil service team. And we would love to be able to expand that programming.
Well, Dr. Tammy Scheidegger, Dr. Carrie King, thank you to both of you. Best of luck in your work.
Thank you so much.
Precious Lives is produced by 371 Productions in association with WUWM, WNOV, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We're supported by the Greater Milwaukee Foundation and the Isabel and Alfred Bader Fund. Music by Kiran V of Fresh Cut Collective.